C.S. Lewis wrote that series of novels called The Chronicles of Narnia, that first one, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I've said this many times in sermons, so I'll just recap it real quick. Lewis was an atheist. I think that's always important to note. He was an atheist who was led to faith in Jesus Christ, much to his surprise. He was an intellectual. He was an English professor at Oxford University. He became friends with another university professor there who you've heard of, or at least you've heard of his books, which have become movies, J.R.R. Tolkien, who wrote the Lord of the Rings series. They became fast friends. And Tolkien was a Christian, and Lewis was one of those intellectuals who felt like there could be no logical substantive reason to be a Christian, that you have to dismiss logic, you have to take blind leaps of faith, that there's really no reason to faith, that there's no depth to faith, there's no evidence to faith. And he was surprised. Tolkien took him on this journey, showed him all of those things, and Lewis was surprised. In fact, he wrote a book later, C.S. Lewis did, one of his many deeply theological books called Surprised by Joy. He's surprised by the joy that he found along the way in his relationship with Jesus Christ. And he became one of the most prolific Christian authors of the 20th century, C.S. Lewis did. Among other things, he wrote this series of books called The Chronicles of Narnia for kids. And he did it as sort of a friendly contest between himself and Tolkien to see who could write the best series to bring the Bible metaphorically into the hearts and the minds and the imaginations of kids. And, you know, you can be the decision maker for yourself. It's subjective on who won that little contest these two Oxford professors had between Lord of the Rings, which is all about the Bible, and Chronicles of Narnia, which is all about the Bible. Lewis was a little more direct and a little more blatant about using characters in his Chronicles of Narnia stories that represented directly biblical heroes. For instance, Aslan, which in Turkish translated to English means lion. Revelation 5:5 says it's one of the names of Jesus, the lion, not just the lamb, Revelation 5:5 says, but also the lion, and more specifically, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And so Lewis picks up on that and uses the Turkish name for lion to describe Jesus in Narnia, this savior, this messiah, this one who comes. And the kids in this story represent any of us who are seeking spiritual truth. They're looking for what is truth. They're looking for meaning. They're looking for purpose. They're looking for direction. They're looking for life. And they come into this land of Narnia through the wardrobe. And they come into Narnia and they're invited early on to Pastor Beaver. It's just great that the pastor is a beaver in this story, isn't it? To Pastor Beaver in Mrs. Beaver's house. And they have the conversation you just saw at the beginning of that clip, where the pastor, the beaver, says, "Did you catch it?" And did you catch the reaction on the kid's face? Kind of subtle, but well done in this movie and right out of the book. The book's even better than the movie. When Pastor Beaver says, "Aslan is on the move," the whole mood of the room changes. Suddenly you see glimpses of hope on the faces of these children, these spiritual seekers, these people who are longing for truth and meaning and purpose in life. Suddenly they start, something inside of their spirit is touched by the spirit of hope, of the spirit of God, who connects with them and lets them know deep in their heart of hearts, in the very depths of their souls, there is something more out there. There is purpose and direction and meaning, and there is hope. Do you remember where you were this week when the sun came out? Wasn't that awesome? I mean, speaking of hope, did it change your mood? Did it change your it did mine. I'll admit it. When the sun came out, I didn't realize how grumpy I'd been for the last 7 months or however long it's been since the sun was shining. I had no idea. The sun came out, and I was so excited. I remember right where I was. I ran inside, put a Speedo on, went outside, laid out. It was No, I do not own a Speedo. I don't want you to stay with that image. I have big, huge, giant swim trunks, way past the knees. But there's this verse in Ephesians 1 which speaks of the hope that comes when we encounter light. I think it's physically true. I think when the sun comes out, our mood gets better. People treat each other better. We just have more hope. We're happier people in the sunshine than we are in the midst of the clouds, which is why I'll never live in Seattle. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope God has given. That's such a good verse. Let's read it all together. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope. The light brings hope. It's not sunlight here that brings, you know, a better mood in Iowa after we've been rained on for enough time that we started thinking we might want to start some ark building classes. We're talking about the sun, the light of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that brings hope, that gives us a reason to put hope out on the wall outside of this West Des Moines campus and signs up at all of our campuses that are listening to this sermon right now in Waukee and Johnston Grimes and Ankeny and Des Moines. We are a church of hope because of this. It isn't that we have confidence in ourselves, it's that we have confidence in the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You heard the Bible reading a little bit earlier where Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. This is the last of our series during the season of Lent leading up to Easter on the I am statements of Jesus. They identify the character and the nature of Jesus, but that identifies who we are too. I'm the vine and you're the branches. And so on Palm Sunday, I think that's an appropriate text for us, because palm branches are a big part of the Palm Sunday story. Sometimes I think kids in church might think that palms just grow out of the dirt, you know, like this, because we hand them a palm. But in order for this to reach its full potential, it has to be connected to this, to the vine that runs through. I'm the vine, Jesus says, and you're the branches. And as long as you belong to me and stay attached to me, then I belong to you and stay attached to you. So here's the best part. I want you, please hear this. So what runs through me runs through you, is what Jesus is saying. So the life that the Father, the gardener in this story in John 5, as Jesus tells it, gives to the vine, that's me, Jesus says, runs through you, the branches, and then you get to produce a beautiful vineyard of grapes and fruit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you want to produce this kind of fruit, if you want to be what God has created you to be, if you want to find meaning and purpose and direction in life, like these spiritual seekers are trying to do in the Chronicles of Narnia, get connected to the vine. I'm the vine and you're the branches. And as long as you're connected to me, then you're connected to these blessings, to these good things that run through me. You get my life because I'm connected to this vine. When we have this light of hope that hits our hearts, it comes because we're connected to the vine. It doesn't come because we're special people or because we're superior or above average. It happens because of our connection to the vine, Jesus Christ. But one thing leads to another, and in this Palm Sunday story, that's certainly the case. One thing is always leading to another, like dominoes falling. A lot of Christians think, and I'm sitting for a reason, this is hard, but I'm going to get up in a second, but you'll see in a moment why I've been sitting, that a lot of people wrongly think that the Palm Sunday story is really nothing more than a warm-up act for Easter, or an introductory kind of, you know, paragraph into the Holy Week story. And it really isn't much more than that. It's just this fun little kind of march into Jerusalem, a parade of sorts that happens. Jesus comes up over the Mount of Olives, down into the Kidron Valley, a very short journey, comes back up the valley into the holy city of Jerusalem, and as he does, everybody breaks out in a parade. It's a king who's coming home in a lot of ways. When the Cleveland Cavaliers won the NBA championship last year, their king came home. LeBron was born. He grew up in Akron, Ohio, which is right outside of Cleveland. And then when he came back to the Cavaliers, the hope was they'd win an NBA championship. I'm not a LeBron fan, but I like that picture, because that's the day after they won the NBA championship last year, and they had a parade in downtown Cleveland, and everybody, that's very Palm Sunday-esque. People just spontaneously kind of showed up. Hey, we're going to the parade. LeBron's going to be coming down the middle. King James is coming, and we'll celebrate him. That's just a basketball player who dunks and hits jump shots. A really good one. Wish he was on the Bulls. Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem. He was on the move. Aslan is on the move. And when you hear that, I want to ask you a question. Does it stir up anything inside of you? I don't say that as some sort of litmus test for whether or not you're a good person or you know, anything like that. I'm asking you because I have genuine pastoral concern for your spiritual life. And it is a pretty good test to determine whether or not you're connected to the vine. Because if you hear that your Savior is on the move, something inside of you is going to stir up. Lewis put it this way in his book. After Pastor Beaver says to the kids, Aslan is on the move, Lewis writes, and now a very curious thing happened. None of the children knew who Aslan was any more than you do. I feel like Miss Wyatt, my second grade teacher, and doing story time right now. I really like story time. She's very nice. None of the children knew who Aslan was any more than you do, but the moment Beaver had spoken these words, everyone felt quite different. The moment the Beaver said, Aslan is on the move, everyone in the room felt different. Do you, when you hear Jesus is on the move? It's a really good question. And if you don't, it might be because you aren't connected to the vine. The good news is you can reconnect. The Bible even says you can be grafted back onto the vine, onto the tree of life. It's easy. It's a matter of faith. Lewis goes on to say, perhaps it has sometimes happened to you in a dream, this feeling, this hope, that someone says something which you don't understand, but in the dream it feels as if it had something, some enormous meaning, a lovely meaning, too lovely to put into words, which makes the dream so beautiful that you remember it all your life and are always wishing you could get into the dream again. It was like that now when Beaver said, Aslan is on the move. At the name of Aslan, at the name of the lion, at the name of Jesus, each one of the children felt something jump in its inside. Stir in your soul. Open your soul. Open your heart. Receive this for everything it is. Your Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who came to give you life, to forgive your sins, to open up the door to eternal life in the kingdom of heaven, is on the move for you. He's on the move for you, and he's inviting you to come because, see, here's how the mathematics work out. Here's how the physics work out. If he's the vine and you're the branches and he's moving, so are you. If he moves, you move. And so my question for you today is, are you moving? Oh, see, that's why I've been sitting. Because this sort of depicts the way a lot of us do Christianity. And that doesn't mean you need to stand for the rest of the sermon. You know, stay right where you're at. There's a time and a season for everything. But as you live out your Christian life, is it just something that you sit back and ponder? Is it just something you think about? Because if that's all it is, you're missing the best part. You're not just missing the best part of Christianity. Folks, you're missing the best part of life. Jesus Christ is on the move, and you belong to him, and he's breathing life into you and connecting to you, and he's moving, and he wants you to come on this adventure. Christianity is something to be done. It's an action. It's a movement. And so let me ask you again, are you on the move? Are you, in what way? How are you serving? How are you loving? How are you forgiving? How are you reaching out? How are you being the body of Christ? What are you doing in your daily lives to show it in your life, to let it flow through you? I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. You don't have to be something you're not. You don't have to turn religion into this performance where you're trying to act for God in a certain way. You just get to be who you are because it isn't you or me that's doing these things. Even collectively, it's Jesus Christ. Are you still moving? Too many Christians and too many churches aren't. They're too focused on all the wrong things. Focused on who said what to who and who's in charge of this or that and who's up and who's down and what color the carpet is in the sanctuary and how many candles are we going to put on the altar. And did you hear what Gladys said at the women's Bible circle the other day? Jesus Christ is on the move, people. I mean, this what we're dealing with here. We're not playing church. This is life. This is the God who creates life, who shows up as a human being in the person of Jesus Christ, and he says, good news, you belong to me, so move. Oh, that feels so much better. Get up. Don't get up. This is figuratively, right? It's after the service. Go, move, now. I mean then, at the end of the sermon. One thing leads to another. Too often our dominoes, they just stand there, they're static. You can't do Christianity in a vacuum. It's not something that just sits still. And if you aren't moving, then I say this, please, as Pastor Beaver, to the people who are seeking life, if you aren't moving with Jesus, your faith is in decline. You want your faith to grow? Then get moving. Then do Christianity. Then be a Christian. Then make sure there's some evidence of it in your life, in the way you treat your friends, in the way you treat your enemies, in the way you treat the least of these in the world around us. You know, the best indicator of character and strength is how the strongest take care of the weakest. How we reach out, how we treat the weakest says the most about our strength. It isn't just about finding other strong people to hang out with. It's about being the body of Christ. One thing leads to another, leads to another. And all the puzzle pieces start to fit together. When our oldest son John was 10, he loved to make home videos, so he took out our camcorder. Remember camcorders? Before phones, there were these big honking things, and you would do home movies with them, and then you'd have all these tapes that you never watched again. Remember those? But you have them in case you ever need them. So we had this son of ours who was just, he just loved to make home movies. And one day he spent the whole day. He also loved sports and racing. And so he, out of paper, cut and taped together and stapled together an entire replica of a racetrack in our living room. And then he had these little, you know, race cars that he collected, and he put them down and he had a race. And he was filming it one frame at a time. So he would move all the cars and then he'd take one frame and then he'd move them again, he'd take another one and another one. And so then when he played it back, it looked like it was a race, like a cartoon, like animation. He's 10 years old. So he's showing this passion for making movies, for racing. And then what's really funny, in the middle of the home movie he made, he had a commercial because he was the announcer at the NASCAR race. And then he says, and now a word from our sponsors. And then it goes to him and wearing a hat, sitting in a chair, and he's filming himself. And he says, save big money at Menards. Menards! No offense to those of you who work at Home Depot or Lowe's or any other competitors, Ace. But I guess he had just been to Menards. And that song does get in your head, doesn't it? That's the jingle of all jingles. And they play it over and over when you walk through their store, too. So John, this kid grows up. He goes to college. He majors in communication arts, film production, and public relations. Double major. And then out of college, his first job? Making TV commercials for Menards. I'm not making this up. One thing leads to another. At their home office in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. He was there for 3 years. While he was there, Menard's favorite son is Paul Menard, who's a race car driver. One thing leads to another. And so Menard's, the management decided, we're going to make a TV commercial about Paul Menard, this race car driver, who's the son of the owner. And so they do, and they get John to make the commercial because he's a race guy. So John meets Paul Menard. NASCAR finds this commercial that he made. They like it so much, they hire John. And he moves to Charlotte, which is his name. One thing leads to another. He made a home movie of a NASCAR race with a Menards commercial in the middle. And his first two jobs are making commercials for Menards and now being a TV producer for NASCAR. If only he had made a commercial about how a son gave his father millions and millions of dollars. But he didn't, so I'm not holding my breath. But one thing leads to another. And if you have eyes to see, you start to see it. Passions bubble up early, don't they? And you can see how one thing in our kids, and they're all different, and one thing leads to another, and the pieces start coming together. Folks, that's Palm Sunday. The pieces are all coming together. Jesus is coming up over the Mount of Olives. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He's not surprised. His disciples might be, even though Jesus told him three times, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'll be betrayed. I'll be handed over to the authorities. I'll be crucified. And 3 days later, I'll rise from the dead. That's our week ahead. That's where, let's go. Woo, I'm on the move. Here we go. Da, da, da. But Jesus isn't surprised. He knows exactly where this road is leading. He knows it's going straight for a cross. He knows what he's going to have to go through and what he's going to have to endure. But he keeps moving for you and for me. Aslan is on the move. The lion of the tribe of Judah is moving. And he isn't moving just because it's the thing to do. He's moving for you and for the salvation of this world throughout all history, to fulfill what his Father in heaven sent him into this world to fulfill. And here again, the best part, he invites you to join him. You belong to him. Follow him on this journey. Come and see what it means and the difference it makes in your life and how it brings perspective to you and how it brings hope in the same way sunshine breaking through the clouds after weeks of rainy days brings hope to our bodies. Spiritually, following Jesus brings even more hope, eternal hope, spiritual hope, life hope to everything that's in our soul that longs to be filled up, and we try to fill it up with all this other stuff, but it doesn't satisfy. So Jesus says, putting all the pieces together, follow me. And in case you think Palm Sunday is just a warm-up act for Easter, I want to just show you real quickly. I want you to understand the Jewish roots, the Hebrew roots, the Old Testament roots of this story, and how Jesus, knowing that as a Jewish man, and all of his followers being Jewish at this time, they would. There's no way they could miss it. They know this jingle. They know how it goes. And so when he starts singing it, they're like, we know what he's doing now. It makes us nervous, but we know what he's doing. John 12 says there are palm branches, Leviticus 23:40, way deep in the Old Testament. One of the first five books of the Old Testament says, when you pull out palm branches, it's for a celebration, and there's even a hint of royalty there. They're praising God and shouting Hosanna, and look, he's coming, riding in on a donkey. Check out Zechariah 9:9 someday. Here comes your king riding in on a donkey. So said the prophet centuries before Jesus came over that Mount of Olives. One thing leads to another. It isn't just some warm-up act for Easter that Jesus is doing on Palm Sunday and inviting us to start this journey of Holy Week. They're praising God and shouting Hosanna. Look up Psalm 118 sometime, verses 25 and 26, and look at how closely and tightly Palm Sunday fits with exactly what Jesus is doing. Jesus knows his scriptures, his followers know their scriptures, and so they know what he's doing. Not only that, he's bringing two big holidays together. It's Passover time, the highest holy holiday in the Jewish faith. Jesus and his disciples would celebrate Passover. Jesus as a young boy would celebrate it with Mary and Joseph growing up. It's what Jewish boys and families did. So they're celebrating Passover again as they come into Jerusalem. But Jesus will, well, he'll say there's a new covenant now with the Passover meal. Another word for covenant is testament, by the way. That was the old covenant, the Old Testament, when you took the bread of the Passover meal and the wine of the Passover meal to remember the blood of the offering of the lamb that our ancestors gave in Israel when they were living as slaves in Egypt. And they took the blood of that lamb and they painted it on the doorposts of their homes, where they resided, where they lived, so that the angel of death would come that night at God's order and would pass over their homes and they would be saved. Does this language sound at all familiar to the New Testament to you? Death would pass over and they would be saved. So behold, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, in addition to being the Lamb of God, comes over the hill on Palm Sunday and they're praising him. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And he comes on this Passover season for a reason, because he's the new sacrifice. It's his blood painted on the doorposts of our soul as we receive the bread and the wine of communion, because Jesus says, from now on, the wine of this Passover meal, now this is my blood. And this bread of the Passover meal, now this is my body. when you take it and receive it, as we do on a regular basis here at Hope, you take in Jesus Christ. You belong to Him. I'm the vine. You're the branches. Stay connected to me. And if you do, I'll produce life in you, and through you, I'll produce an abundant harvest. So it's Passover time, but it's also Hanukkah. You know, maybe you're thinking of the Adam Sandler song on SNL. Hanukkah, the mid-December high holy holiday for Jewish people. They light the menorah, and the reason they do is because they're remembering what Judas Maccabeus, who'd become their king, did in 164 BC when he cleansed the temple, which had come under pagan occupation. Our hearts break this morning as we hear the news of the bombs that went off in the Christian churches in Egypt. I just heard about it between the last two services. And several deaths there. People just coming to church to worship Jesus Christ in a country where we have a mission partner in Port Said, and we're connected to them, and we pray for them, and we talk. Whenever I talk to this pastor in Port Said, Egypt, my heart always breaks. I mean, he's literally risking his life every day, just putting his life on the line every day to be a public Christian in a country where it's becoming more dangerous all the time to be a Christian. Pray for Egypt. Pray for our Christian brothers and sisters in Christ in Egypt. It's Hanukkah time. It's Passover time on Palm Sunday, but it's also Hanukkah because Jesus is riding on a donkey. The same kind of thing Judas Maccabeus did in 164 BC when he cleansed the temple and he became the new king of Israel. It's all coming together. All the pieces of the puzzle are fitting. One thing leads to another, and to another. And see, that's where you come into the story. Because Palm Sunday doesn't just connect us to the past and to the Old Testament, it drives straight into our future, into the present, and then past into our future. And it's God's way of sweeping us up and saying, you belong to me. Come and follow me, and I'll show you a better way. This week, he says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. Last week, he says, I'm the way and the truth and the life. The week before that, I'm the resurrection and the life. The week before that, I'm the gate and the good shepherd. I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the one who brings hope. Stay connected to me. And because I move, you'll move. And when I move and you move with me, you're going to see some things. Jesus says to his disciples, part of the way along this journey, he says, blessed are your eyes to see what you get to see, and your ears to hear what you get to hear. Because I tell you, kings and princes and the most famous people in the world have longed to see and hear these things, but they missed it. Because they're living like this. They're living for the branch. They're living for themselves. Here's the problem with you living for you. There's no life in it. There's no source of life in it. It's not sustainable. You will never be satisfied with it. Even if you get it all, it'll never be enough. It'll never fill you up. And so Jesus comes along and he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And if you stay connected to me, I'll give you this life. I'll give you this light. I'll give you this hope. I'll give you this purpose. I'll give you this direction. I'll give you this meaning. Abide in me and I'll abide in you. And not only that, here's the really fun part. My life running through your branches is going to produce these big juicy grapes. I mean, it's going to be awesome. You're going to be able to make wine with this stuff. You're going to be able to change the world. How much more boring would this tree be if it wasn't purple? If it didn't have any color to it, if it didn't have any life to it. What is it everybody says every fall when they look at the trees? Oh, the colors. Of course, that just means the trees are dying, but oh, the colors, they're just so beautiful. This is color. This is life. This is the hope of spring. This is the hope of being connected to life. This is being of the one who's on the move, and he moves us, and we produce this great fruit. Do not misunderstand me on this point. This is a kind of a fine line to walk. And I always hesitate to even say anything, and I probably err on the side of not saying enough sometimes. But I'm challenged by our Lord himself in the Sermon on the Mount where he says, let your light shine. Don't hide it under a bush. Let it shine so the whole world can see your good works, the stuff you're doing, church. Let everybody see what you're doing. Let your light shine. Not so they'll glorify you, but so they'll glorify my Father in heaven when they see your good works. So with that in mind, let me share with you. You're an incredible church. I mean, you're absolutely, what is it the cool kids say these days? Off the rail hook. You're good. You're really good. You're incredibly faithful. I mean, we wanted to raise, I can't remember the amount of money that it would take. $400,000? Huh? 300? We wanted to build 75 churches at $4,000 a crack. $300,000. I just did the math. We wanted to raise $300,000 in just 6 weeks to build churches in a part of a world most of you have never been to reach people for Jesus Christ that most of you will never meet until you do someday, either by going on a mission trip to Western Africa or in the kingdom of heaven, when somebody comes up to you and says, thank you. I was one of the 40,000 plus who showed up in those churches and was saved by Jesus Christ because you had the generosity to build a church in Africa during your Lenten project. Thank you. And they will say to you, because they'll have eternity to find you, I am here because of you. Because of the way the life of the vine, Jesus Christ, worked through your branch. And that brought the light of salvation into my life and my family's life and my village's life. Because we didn't have a church before Hope showed up. You're an incredible church. So we're doing it again. People say, well, what if we have too many churches? We won't have too many. All right? Keep it coming. Let's keep going. Pastor Sam said he has enough missionaries trained to build way more churches than we could afford to build for him. Keep it coming, church. Keep it coming. I'm the vine. You're the branches. It's not just global. You say, well, that's over there. What about here? What about here? I was speaking at a banquet this last week, and it was for local people, but mostly people who didn't go to Hope, just a few people from Hope. And before and after I gave my talk, people came up to me and said, oh, you're one of the pastors at Lutheran Church of Hope. Thank you. It's like, you're welcome? For what? Thank you for doing what you guys do. Thanks for the way you serve in this community. Thanks for being active in your faith. Thanks for, and they had all these different examples. Thanks for doing this and thanks for doing that. And thanks for being involved in this ministry and that ministry. And do you know that that really helped me or helped a friend of mine or it changed their lives and turned them around? Thank you. Now, please, again, sensitive issue. Hear my heart on this. That is not me saying, yay, Lutheran Church of Hope, we're the best. We rule. I went to a church once where they started, this is the greatest church anywhere. And I'm like, whoa, man, wow. Humble much? This is not the greatest church anywhere. But you know what we're really good at? Connecting to the vine. Abiding in Jesus Christ so that his life runs through us. And then we get to start seeing things like this. And things that are happening in Des Moines and things that are happening all over the world because of what God is doing through you, because you're moving with him. Let me tell you this again. Jesus is on the move. Are you moving with him? Or are you just sitting there and watching everybody else run by? Because you're missing the best part of life if that's you. You're missing the greatest fun and the best parties because there ain't no party like a Jesus party. And we see it over and over again, example after example. That's why we start new campuses. Here, there, everywhere. It's not like we started back in 1993, we all got together and we said, Lord, we want to be a multi-site mega church. Please, Lord, build us into a church that has 5 locations all around the Des Moines area. When we were starting out, our prayer was, God, if you could just get us to the point where we could be sustainable, that would be nice. I mean, we will pay people to come at first. We'll consider it an investment. Please, Lord. So it wasn't our great plan. It's just that, well, we're connected to a great vine. And when that happens, you start seeing miracles. You start seeing things that you didn't expect to see right here in the middle of Iowa. And all of a sudden, we've got 5 campuses. And there are people who are worshiping the Lord. Last week, I had the opportunity to go a few of them. I stopped by Waukee for their 9:15 service at the end, and then I went over to Johnston Grimes for their 11. I'm telling you, I know that you're both watching right now live, simulcast in those services. You guys have it going on over there. I mean, God is on the move in your midst, and you are right in there with him. It's not just here in West Des Moines or in Ankeny and Des Moines, our first two campuses. Our newest campuses, Johnston Grimes and Waukee, are booming. And I looked around the rooms, and I'm like, well, here's where all the good people went. No, I'm just kidding. There's still a lot here, too. This is great. You guys are awesome. I love you. I do. And I love you, too. Thank you. Thank you for being a church after God's own heart. But it isn't us, is it? It's that we connect to the vine. I'm the vine. You're the branches. One thing leads to another. It's all coming together. Jesus on Palm Sunday says, you belong to me, so follow me. Stay with me. Move with me on this journey. Let's go. Move. Now, Jesus says, move. And so it's with great excitement that I get to announce our newest campus today. Every few years, it seems like one bubbles up. Well, actually, we had a different strategy. Back in the day, we used to get a group together, a vision team. They'd pray. They'd do the demographic studies. They'd look at maps. They'd say, let's start something in Ankeny, and then Des Moines, and then Johnston Grimes, and then Waukee. And then after we did that, we looked around. We said, the world's changing. And what we're noticing is the new wave of God's Spirit seems to be, let's just let this happen grassroots. We have our online service. A lot of you are watching online right now. Maybe you're in a community where you wish there was a hope presence, a presence of the church like Lutheran Church of Hope. There can be. Move. Now. Call your friends, not the ones who go to another church. Let them be right where they are. We're not competing with other churches. Go after all the people who don't go to church, because that's a bigger group anyway. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. This is where Jesus moves us. Move now. We even have a bishop now, Mark Brandt, who used to be our youth director. He's not, you're like, really? He's a bishop now? We call him, I'm the only one who calls him the bishop. But he was our youth director for 94 years. And then we looked at him and he looked at us and said, I don't know if I can do another lock-in. So we said, all right, well, you have lots of gifts, my friend. So he started overseeing, he became our online minister. He hosts our online service every week. And then he also started overseeing our local sites. So now, if you want to be the next campus of Lutheran Church of Hope, it's really up to you. Get your unchurched friends together and start watching the service in the living room and start becoming the church. And connect with Mark, and he will provide the resources and the help, and that's what's happening. And so it's with great excitement I get to announce our newest Lutheran Church of Hope campus. Are you ready for it? Our next campus will be in, well, you know what? Take a look at the video. That'll tell you. That'll be more creative. Come on up, Mark.
This is the moment we've all been waiting for, the big announcement. Hope's newest campus will launch on Sunday, August 20th in the city of...
Go ahead and read it. Oh. La La Land!
Sorry, here.
Wait, stop the music. There's been a terrible mistake. Hope's newest campus will launch in the city of... Moonlight?
But Moonlight's a movie, not a city.
Okay, I'm sorry, excuse me. I'm so embarrassed. I was live tweeting backstage and taking selfies with the worship band, so I gave you the wrong envelope again. This shouldn't happen. So the real launch city for the newest campus of Hope is... A land of pasta and magic, a place where students abound and research is king, a city of NBA stars, and soon and very soon, a city of hope.
City of angels, are you shining just for me? City of angels, there's so much for us to see. Who knows? Is this the start of something wonderful and new? And one more dream that God's about to make true.
Oh, hey, Dad. How's it going? I was just singing.
Yeah, I heard you over there. What are you doing in Ames, Danny?
Well, Mom called. She said that, you know, you're making a video for church, and I'm usually doing the goofy part, so just getting ready.
Danny, when have I ever asked you to do the goofy part in a church skit?
Well...
Let it glow! Let it glow!
Let's just get a little stretch going on right here. Oh, that's where it's at.
What
I'm getting
are you
I'm
doing?
Time for Bible school.
I mean, maybe just a few hundred times.
Well, Danielson, it's all been getting you ready for this, preparing you. Soon you'll be graduating from seminary, and you're more than ready to serve as the first campus minister for Lutheran Church of Hope. Ames.
Wow! Oh, man. I am so excited to bring hope to this city and to this campus. And I will absolutely bring my amazing dance moves. Ready?
No, Danny. It's like this.
Oh, I see where you're going. Like this.
It's another day of sun.
So, I thought you might like that. Our newest campus is Lutheran Church of Hope Ames, everybody. Isn't that, praise God for that too. That's awesome. It'll start officially on Sunday, August 20th, as you saw at the end of that video. They're already meeting at Zeke's, which is a little concert hall that's a converted oil change station on Lincoln Way, just west of campus. So if you know students at Iowa State or you know people who live in Ames, our goal is pretty simple. We want to bring the light of Jesus' love to the community in Ames and to the campus in Ames. And especially, there's a lot of unchurched college students in the world today, and we got a lot of work to do. So we needed somebody not too far away from that. Leave him alone for a few more weeks. He's got finals in seminary, and assuming you pass, he will be the new campus minister at Hope as he wraps up seminary. But a lot of people have been coming up to us as we announced this weekend, Sally and I, and saying congratulations, but this is a group effort. One thing leads to another. You are a part of this community that raised him in faith. You taught him Sunday school. You were his Power Life mentors. You were his Ignition youth director. You were the people who watched over him and nurtured his faith. And so as he went off to college and seminary, and he's been serving as an intern at a church in Minnesota the last several years, he does that taking you with him. And now, well, he's on the move. And Danny, of all the prayers that I have for you, this is the highest one. Because ministry is full of all sorts of surprises. All sorts of highs and lows and good days and days where you just want to say, what? This is hard. I mean, it's hard. It's like going straight uphill sometimes. But I'm not worried about that with you. One, because you were a varsity wrestler for 3 years in high school. But the other is because you're connected to the vine. And that's my most heartfelt prayer for you, as it is for you, this church, that you would always stay connected to the vine. And if you do, God's going to do great things through you and the wonderful, faithful volunteer leaders at Lutheran Church of Hope Ames.